This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bartholomew. From our Providence, Rhode Island studios, I sit down with Newport City Councilor Lynn Segley. Lynn Segley is a 40-year resident of Newport, Rhode Island, and is Vice Chair and Second Ward Councilor on the Newport City Council. Our conversation ranged from discussing Newport's evolving downtown Broadway neighborhood to the recent student walkout at Rogers High School, to Councilwoman Segley's vision for Newport's future and how she has worked within city government to achieve her goals. Less than 1 month away from the general election, so if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the Bartholomew Town Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you consume content. We'll have several episodes per week heading your way all the way through the election. Of course, you can find each episode at BartholomewTown.com or RIPodcast.com. And while you're at it, go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Bill Bartholomew. So another dive into Newport politics. Newport, a very special place for me. It's where I moved to when I moved back to Rhode Island after a decade in Brooklyn. My wife, Gabrielle, and I moved to Newport to 12 Spring Street, a fairly legendary artist collective that's now gone and I think had a lot to do with shaping the identity of the downtown Broadway section of Newport and maybe the city as a whole. So great to sit down with a Newport policymaker who has very strong ties to the Newport community. Without further ado, my conversation with Newport City Councilwoman Lynn Segley. Is there a wave of momentum for change in Newport, or do you feel like the council's on the right track in general?
Well, I think that we have to look at the council, especially as a ward councilor, in a different way. Ward councilors are really the first stop for constituents who have issues. So basically, I'm dealing much more on a micro level, on a daily basis. For instance, I'm dealing with like neighbor disputes, trash pickup. I mean, it's like those kinds of quality of life issues that come up on a daily basis. When it comes to overall change in Newport, I see us really developing the north end, or what sometimes people call the north side of the city, and trying to create economic development in that area. And we are working toward getting the bridge ramps realigned with the state and developing about 40 or 50 acres of usable land in order to create opportunities for people in Newport to have year-round jobs. So that's part of the big picture in Newport. Also, the other part of the big picture in Newport is, you know, the golden goose is tourism. So, you know, people are really seeing opportunities for building hotels and expansion. And so we have to keep an eye on that and Airbnbs. And it's a plethora of issues that happen in the city.
Right. And also right now we have the situation yesterday, a walkout at Rogers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's not squarely on the council's table, if you will. But, it, you know, there's evidently rodents and just crumbling
schools. You know, I think we have to put it into perspective a little bit. My kids went to Rogers, graduated in 2012, 2013, and there were problems back then as well. There were the leaky roof. We put a new roof on, cost $4 million to put a new roof on part of the building, and that was really put on as a Band-Aid because we knew that Rogers needs to be replaced. The cost of renovating Rogers is astronomical. And it actually would be more cost-effective to build a new high school, even if we had to take down pieces of Rogers and build a new high school on that property. The issues at Rogers, the photographs that you see are real. I mean, they're, but I don't think that they're, from what I have been told by students and who I know pretty well, say it's not as widespread as what you hear, you know. So I am very concerned, naturally, because I want our kids to be safe. But my concern about Rogers is really the 70-plus doors that are in that building. It was built like a California campus. So it's very hard to keep it safe in that regard. So that's one of my biggest concerns about Rogers, and just the design of that building.
Right, surrounded by woods, a lot of different entrances and exits by vehicle,
right,
and so
exactly,
forth.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. The other thing is I am on the Rogers Building Committee. We meet at least once a month to discuss a new Rogers building and all of the alternatives. And we have a few issues with that. Like, we really don't have much land. Newport's all built up, you know. So where are we going to put it? So I would love to say that we could work with Middletown for a really cost-effective way of doing this.
But a regional school district.
You know, I would love to say, like, let's regionalize at least some of the programs in order to make this more cost-effective. But Middletown has rejected that. And the other thing is we also have to consider that Pell is a new state-of-the-art school. We passed a $38 million bond for Pell back in 2010, and it was built in 2012. Of course, the state allocated only so much money, which dictated the size, and all the demographers were saying, well, declining enrollment. Well, that didn't happen. So now the school is filled up, and we need to find a way to relieve that situation by creating a new pre-K space, kindergarten space, and administration offices. So, because the NACTAC Center, which is the center that does the cosmetology and those programs, that is getting filled up now. So administration is going to have to move too. So we're looking at different possibilities through this, and it all costs astronomical amounts of money, scary amounts of money. $180 million is what they're talking about for a new high school.
Wow.
And we could possibly get 50% reimbursement from the state. And that's why it's very important to vote for the November 6th statewide school bond, because schools like Rogers need this infusion. We need this infusion of money so that our taxpayers are not taking on all the burden.
Is that question two?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
I completely agree. And then the other side of that, too, is when you have the physical buildings that will eventually be vacated, what do you see those buildings being used for? Do you see that as a possible use for technology space, artist space, anything like that?
The elementary schools?
The elementary schools in particular, or if you abandoned Rogers and did not develop on that property. I know there's extremely limited available property in Newport, but let's say you abandon that. Is there anything that can be creatively done to attract maybe an economy, a new economy to Newport using those facilities?
Well, you know, I don't know. That area is, it depends on the zoning in that area. I'm not sure that would be what would be considered an economic development area.
Right.
It's really a neighborhood. But when it comes to the other schools, we still have Cogschel that we are marketing. But Cranston-Calvert, we signed a purchase and sales agreement with a company that wants to put in rental apartments that are they're market rent, so they're considered affordable, but there's no subsidy. Since we're working on the Sheffield School Project, which is an Innovate Newport, and that's really coming along, and we're getting a lot of interest with these startup companies, we need housing for people who are going to be coming here. So the Cranston Calvert School plays a big part in attracting young people who want to rent and who don't necessarily have cars and who bike and who walk and, you know, take public transportation. So that's how we see the Cranston Calvert School. Plus, it's right off Broadway. So, and Broadway's a great location now with all of the upgrades that have happened. So we have Cogshill and Cranston Calvert. And that's really it. All the others have been transformed into condominiums.
Right. And I guess that's kind of the danger, too, is that, you know, you build those types of, we see that in Providence here, you see it in Stamford, Connecticut, where you can eventually try to build a facility for people that might work in another place. And if they're not working in Newport, then you have sort of an aloof constituency, if you will. Mm-hmm. Does that danger concern you with both Airbnbs? You mentioned Broadway changing. You know, it's, you know, I guess it's in the eye of the beholder as well, because I think there's plenty who would argue Broadway was a better place to live years ago before this development has pushed essentially a lot of the residents out away from it and has impacted the businesses, impacted the relationship neighborhood members had with homeless people in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's two ways of looking at
it,
too.
There are two ways of looking at it. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's brought a much bigger, vibrant feel to the area. A lot more people who never came to Broadway come to Broadway now because there are such great restaurants there. But the downside of that is housing costs. And, you know, you look at... Sometimes I go on realtor.com just out of curiosity, and I look at the rentals for a one-bedroom apartment on Broadway, and you're looking at, you know, $2,200.
It's insane. I mean, it's
crazy.
It's way too much.
And it markets young people out, and the Airbnbs have an effect on the economy also, because these homes are selling for astronomical amounts of money. And then you end up using it sort of like a hotel. So you're making a lot of money, but you're ruining the neighborhoods at the same time. You don't have that same cohesiveness. So it's like everything is a push and pull and a balance. And
right.
Somehow we try to strive to make that balance happen. And, you know, we got a company that actually checks for illegal Airbnbs through the city that we work with. And so actually a lot of people have stopped renting as being Airbnbs because of this this watchdog group that we hired.
So, that's cool.
Yeah.
And that's practical. That's combating it with practicality right there, you know?
Yeah, well, you have to. And, I mean, of the complaints that I get in the second ward, a lot of it is speeding, traffic, the Rhode Island roll at stop signs.
Yep.
Is a big one. And then the Airbnb issue.
Yep.
So those are the big ones.
Yeah. I love Newport's diversity, if you will, and I don't mean that necessarily in the generic academic term of here's someone from one place, here's someone from another, but I think it's more of a diversity of opinions. There's a lot of people there who are fairly conservative, maybe they have a military background, then there's people who came from the jazz and folk movements of the 60s and all in between, yet it doesn't feel that combative. A lot of discussions, whether it's around a bar or, you know, on a porch late at night or whatever it may be, they always seem to be very level-headed. Do you feel that way as far as when you're in the council dealing with so-called opposition members of the council or public?
Yeah, I find that we're very civil in Newport when it comes to that. You know, of course, we are a nonpartisan council, but I can't help, of course, having my own political views. I mean, I'm on the Democratic City Committee. I have helped raise money for years for Democratic candidates, and you know, that's my philosophy from a broad standpoint. But I have to represent everyone, and I have people who are good friends who are conservatives, and you know, like, and who are progressives, and you know, I mean, sometimes you know, sometimes it's like, okay, let's just stop talking about this.
Yeah, there's some issues that are off the table. Don't get me wrong, you know.
But when you're on the city council and you're dealing in a nonpartisan framework, you have to look through everything through a nonpartisan lens. And people say, well, you know what, when the police go to your house to rescue you from a break-in, they don't ask you if you're a Republican or Democrat. You know, that's just the way,
right.
You know. So that's how we have to see it. And, you know, when it comes to environmental issues, you know, I can see myself being much more on the liberal side of things, maybe the progressive side of things, you know, with the bag ban that we implemented and talking to restaurants about straws and cigarette butts and just trying to keep their areas clean. I created an ordinance that requires all of the businesses to clean up outside of their businesses at the end of the day to make sure that the trash doesn't go into the street. And, you know, so to try to protect the harbor more, because so much money went into that investment in Broadway, which all of those stones, those, you know, that you see there, that's all a drainage system that cleans water out into when it goes out into the harbor. So we don't want to have trash going out into the harbor as well. So those are the same things that, you know, I mean, I really do believe in it. I was very happy that the bag ban passed, and with very little pushback.
Right.
I mean, hardly any. I mean, one of the nice things is we had a donor, a very generous woman, come forward and give our committee $10,000 to buy 9,000 reusable bags.
Wow.
So we were able to brand them. It was like Newport Reuses, this saves the things we love. And so we were able to give them out to, you know, low income, to senior citizens, to, you know, people who would need a bag when they go to the store. And so that, and it was a good marketing tool for that as well.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I guess Newport does have the advantage. There's not a ton of bodegas. And I think in Providence, you find that where for lack of a better word, a cultural scenario, if you will. Mm-hmm. And Newport was able to get over that maybe a little bit quicker, but nonetheless, there was no question about it, mass support for that ban. Very few people that I saw were remotely opposed to that.
Well, I think one of the things that really changed the council was the Volvo Ocean Race the first time that it came, because their whole mission is sustainability. And when you look at the trash that's been picked up through the oceans and that they bring here, and then they create this big monument of trash, it's mind-boggling. And I think that when you look at that you have to do something about it.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. So it changed the minds of some of the council members who had seen some pushback, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, and then didn't see the pushback this time. So, and I think a lot of the stores were already starting to go to paper bags. I think that was something that it was already a movement happening.
Yeah, Empire was, you know, offering discount if you bought a reusable cup. You know, that happened years ago. So you're right; there was already a forward feel to it. Newport's is very progressive on a lot of practical issues. I feel you know it doesn't get the reputation as being this northeastern progressive city, probably because of the mansions and the yachts and all that. But I think really it is, you know, the ideas are there and people execute on them.
Well, I think so. I mean, and we keep trying to execute on, you know, quality of life issues that, you know, and we like, you know, it's like, is it a progressive issue? Is it not? I don't really know, but it's just like, it's always like, if somebody likes what they're seeing when they wake up in the morning and they look out their front door, are they happy? That's what I ask myself every day.
Right.
And so when I was canvassing the neighborhoods a couple of people came to the door and said, well, you know, this four-way stop over here, they don't stop, somebody's going to get killed. So, you know, you call the police, you ask for more reinforcement. You know, the buses aren't pulling up to the curb, they're blocking, you know. It's like, okay. So, you know, you call the superintendent and you try to make sure that the principal makes sure the buses are up to the curb. You know, it's right. Like, it's things like that, that it's like, what is the quality of my life? Am I happy here?
Right.
And that, one of the great things we had yesterday, actually, and it was a national movement, was Coffee with a Cop Day. So I went to one of them, and it was great. I mean, you actually had a chance to speak one-on-one with the community-oriented police who works in that neighborhood and
yes,
understands yep. the neighborhood, understands the people, and, you know, wants to be a change agent. So
right. Yeah, it's more hands-on, you know, mm-hmm. within the city. Yeah, and, you know, that we've seen recently, you mentioned the nonpartisan aspect of the council,
mm-hmm.
But we've seen recently in East Providence all sorts of antics with their council, and, of course, in North Smithfield with John Beauregard putting forth the legislation to ban, or not, well, suggest that Nike.
Yeah,
so Nikes. We've seen people
That's
abuse
ridiculous.
This. To me, I was outraged about that situation because, to me, the council, you know, local government, local representatives, that's the village mentality that democracy is actually built on still, where influence from the outside is, you know, at least somewhat minimized. And
well, it's overstepping.
Right. About by far. Right.
And that's something that I think that in Newport, I think we're very careful about that.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's about striking a balance. I mean, whether it, what, with whatever it is, whether, you know, like, for instance, we have an issue on Broadway where there's a big delivery truck that comes up and breaks those the bollards on one of the crosswalks.
Yep.
So it's like, what are we going to do? Okay, well, can we get the company to bring a smaller truck? What can we do? You know, it's damaging our equipment. You know, it's like, you know, those are the things that can be so frustrating. But those are the things you deal with on the council.
Yeah.
And it's not just going to two meetings a month. It's 30 hours a week of phone calls, emails, meetings, you know, it's really an incredible experience. But it's a commitment.
Right.
There's no doubt about it.
No doubt about it. It's a full time, you know, mm-hmm. within the capacity of your mind. It's not just a part time job. It's full time.
Oh.
Your identity is forged around that seat. You know?
Absolutely. And I love it. I love helping people. I love getting people together. You know, if somebody's having a problem, and like, let's bring the city manager and the head of the department together so that we can come together with some sort of a resolution. And I, you know, I don't like to have people hanging, and it bothers me. It bothers my conscience, you know, so,
yep.
So I'm trying to be proactive in that way.
Right. Well, that's a good thing to have, is morality, especially right now in this climate that we live in, you
yeah.
know, it's essential. What's your take, just real quick, on statewide? There's been some flexing of muscles, if you will, in terms of the progressive wing and the more old guard wing of the state Democratic Party this year. We've seen it both in Aaron Regenberg challenging mm-hmm. Dan McKee. We've seen it mm-hmm. in victories in the General Assembly, but also some pushback in other areas as well. There's whether Speaker Mattiello is one will be Speaker come January. Are these types of questions, as someone who's, as you say, part of the city Democratic Council, and mm-hmm. where do you see this going? This is healthy, and are we heading in a positive direction, or are we heading towards an actual fracturing of the party?
Well, I see it in both ways. I mean, I think that there's a good reason. There's a good way for progressives to push the more traditional liberal into, you know, a certain way. But what I worry about is the fracture of the party. I think that, you know, we have to stay together, and because we do have our core beliefs, and whether it's equal rights for all and the environment, and, you know, we have these, what are our common values? And I think that they are the same. Now, how we push back on certain things or whatever, you know, maybe it might be a little bit different, but I see us having the same core values, and we need to keep remembering that. So that's sort of where I am. I mean, I wouldn't want to weaken a Democratic candidate because I don't agree with everything that they believe in, and then have a conservative come in and support what's happening on the national level. You know, I don't want that kind of fracture. That's what worries me more than anything. So.
Right. Yeah, Congressman Cicilline sat in that chair a few weeks ago and was interesting. His answer that from progressive through conservative Democrat, there's nothing that is as bad as electing a Republican or an independent conservative.
That's exactly what I'm trying to
say. So even if you've got a Nick Mattiello who's pro-choice, NRA supported, and generally, and by most standards, well right of center, it's still better than flipping to what they would call the dark side.
Well, I would have to agree with David on that. I think that we need to. You know, we just need to keep our core values in as our priority, and that, you know, so I think that when Trump was elected, a lot of people got really scared, and I understood that because I sat there at 3 a.m. with my heart beating out of my chest, going, "Oh my God, how is this happening to us?"
Right.
But I think that people got really scared. It was like, well, now he's not liberal enough. You know, it's like, well, hold on. What does he really do believe in, though? You know, so we got to look at it that way.
Yeah, I think that's really important that you have to look at it somewhat practically. You know what I mean? I think that's personally, I think there's a danger. I probably agree with most philosophically of the ideas of progressive. Mm-hmm. Portion of the party, I would say, you know, for the most part. But as far as the mechanics of arriving at those, I disagree completely with many of those mechanics because of just thinking about the realities of where we're at. It seems like the Newport Council, you've maintained that level-headed approach to dealing with things and not getting caught up in, you know, trying to express partisan ideas.
Well, you have to because you represent everyone.
Right.
I'm not running as a Democrat. I'm running as a nonpartisan. So, you know, I'm not going to put all this stuff on my Facebook page, even though I'm dying to sometimes.
Yep.
But I feel as though I need to show that I understand and respect the views of everyone in the city. So that's where I try to come from.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. I've tried to keep my mouth shut as much as possible on any viewpoint. Once I began doing this podcast, even prior to that, I've tried to not express, hey, what's going on here? There are times where you have to at some level, but yeah, it's impartiality and open-mindedness to me is like, that's the solution to getting out of this jam that we're in, both in Rhode Island, even in Newport, the some of the areas that there's problems, right?
And I'm very grateful that we are nonpartisan because I think that if we were, we would be pigeonholed into certain types of philosophies about things, you know, like whether it's development or, you know, the environment or whatever. I mean, I think that, you know, we don't have that layer that we have to deal with. You know, we can be much more independent thinking. So I like that feeling.
Yeah, John Adams would approve.
Yeah, exactly.
Last question. It's I grew up in Rhode Island. I always thought of Rhode Island as sort of South County and Providence as far as where I'd go. Newport was more of like, all right, we're gonna go on an adventure and go to Hialeah dressed up with alligator skin sandals on or whatever.
Now you go to Tiverton for that.
Yeah, now it's but I never really viewed, aside from the festivals, I didn't have the exposure to the cultural power, if you will, of Newport. Mm-hmm. You know, I really didn't. I toured the War College or whatever, but and oftentimes I encounter people here in Providence that think of Newport maybe as sort of a secondary market, but mm-hmm. I honestly think that there's as much there as anywhere, including New York. And obviously the number's smaller, but depending on what you're looking for, it's probably there as far as ideas and types of people. Do you feel like the media statewide overlooks Newport and kind of only covers it when it's sort of an event that isn't even really tied to the community, because I get that feeling.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about local media, what's up Newport and that.
Yeah,
about-
no, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, I think that we have a reputation of being sort of stodgy place, and once in a while we'll have cool things a couple times a year, like the Folk Festival and Jazz Festival, and you know,
right.
But it's not that way at all. I mean, we're going to have the Broadway Street Fair this weekend, which is going to be, yeah, I'm going to be
wait.
A trash person.
Oh, beautiful.
So I'll be telling you where to put your compost.
Awesome.
But so I've been working with the committee on getting through some of the city processes with that.
Yeah.
So we have the Broadway Street Fair, which is a great eclectic event and
organically diverse.
Organically diverse
without thinking
absolutely.
About it, right?
Absolutely.
That's what Newport is.
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful event. As a matter of fact, I mean, it was done because of all the Broadway work. It was a celebration of the work being finished and trying to help the merchants with, you know, that with the business that they lost through all that time. And now it's become a really big event. It's where this is our third one now. We're also going to have an after party it's going to take place under a tent at the Friends Meeting House. It's $20 a person, and it's going to be a really fun, just sort of like just, you know, kind of a nice laid-back affair. But I think it would be nice to have people come to that, too. So it's
right.
it's a celebration about a celebration, I suppose.
Yeah.
But no, I see Newport as having a lot of alternatives and lots of things to do. There's always, and I was always so appreciative that I could bring my kids up in Newport where they can walk to work. They can walk. They have friends and they, you know, they went through the public schools and you know, that's how I got started in all of this advocacy, is through my kids in the public schools and meeting people. And
yep.
So, you know, I recommend anyone coming. And you know, I'd like to see the art scene maybe be a little bit more progressive, but but
no, I couldn't agree more with that. You
that,
know, a little
that,
less, little sailboat break,
yeah.
maybe lighthouse break on the visual side, a little bit more. Take some more chances with.
Yeah, take
you know,
some more chances.
I have to say, I have to give credit to a lot of those Broadway locations, though. Poor Judgment in particular.
Mm-hmm.
That not only me, but a lot of original bands get paid to play music. By Hank, you know,
mm-hmm.
directly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
And you talk about, like, just building that scene. It's like, how can we get more Hanks and more aspects, more, I'm not going to name names, but a little bit more interesting programming, maybe at the movie theater,
mm-hmm.
if you will, because
mm-hmm.
that'll bring in those people from Providence and Boston and South County that'll say, oh, wow, this is actually the place
yes.
to go hang out and talk to people about cool things.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think so. I mean, there was... there was an art show back in the 60s and 70s called Monumenta. And that was, it was really a, people thought it was kind of like, you know, modern art on these lawns of mansions. And,
oh,
and
very
it
cool.
was like, and it was
wow.
very progressive. And, you know, I'd love to see a little bit more of that sort of fun dichotomy.
Yes.
In Newport.
Bringing it to the community as well, because that's another thing as well. It's tough to get people to, especially the first time, it's tough to get people to come into another place or do something different, you
yeah.
know, that are used to
right.
watching the Patriots and this, that, and the other, which is all fine. There's nothing
oh,
wrong
yeah.
with that. I'm into that too, but as far right. as taking that next step.
Yeah. No, I love Newport, and I've been living in Newport practically my whole life, and my father was from Newport, and my grandfather, and you know, they, and it was just it's always been a very special place for me that I, you know, have a very strong. I just feel as though I just want to have some influence in making it more livable, better, you know. So that's where I am on it.
As always, thank you for listening to the Bartholomew Town Podcast. Remember to follow me on Twitter and Instagram @BillBartholomew. Until next time, we'll talk soon.